have a seat and focus your attention to the screen as we move forward with the rest of the service.
It's not fair!
Well, good morning, everybody. Everybody hear me okay? Okay, perfect. Well, I'm sure I can imagine what everybody's thinking. What? This isn't McAvoy. Isn't that the guy that greets us at the door? You know, I want to welcome everybody and thank everybody for coming today. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Dan Minnick. And as we get into this second part of It's Not Fair today, I'm going to take a few minutes and I'm going to explain to you exactly what I'm doing up here and why I'm standing up here giving this message today. But the first thing I want to do is I want to ask y'all for a little help today. This is my first time doing this, and I am terrified. McAvoy, when I was sitting here facing the screen, McAvoy made a comment. He said, well, maybe it's a little bit light this morning, you know, maybe some people slept in, and I immediately had a sigh of relief. I was like, oh, maybe there's not going to be as many people. And as I turned to face the other way, Mike, you were wrong. They showed up, and I'm terrified. So with that being said, I want to ask first that you just bear with me a little bit today. I want to make sure I drive the points home of this message today, but I might stumble a little bit. It might take me a minute to gather my thoughts. The second thing, the thing that I am most terrified about today is being up here. I'm an Italian. I have Italian blood. I flail my arms around, and I am terrified of being the sweaty armpit guy. So if you guys could help me, if my armpits start to sweat, somebody stand up, and I'll just know to keep my hands like this for the rest of the message. So if you could help me with those couple things today, I think we'll be able to get through it. So thank you very much, everybody. So I just want to recap for a couple minutes about what Mike talked about last week, about this whole season of understanding what it's like for things not to be fair. And Mike gave a great experience about walking down the street and his buddy coming behind him, and he had no idea it was going to happen, and he didn't deserve it. There was nothing that he could have done to prevent it other than the fact that he couldn't get out of a full Nelson, which I still struggle with it as well. But I think that there were a lot of really relevant points there. And one of the things through this series, through this Easter season that we're going through, Jesus modeled how to go through those seasons of unfairness perfectly. You know, and Mike talked a little bit about when Jesus was born, and he talked about how Jesus was brought up in poverty. He was brought up in an unwed marriage. He was brought up in the same circumstances, in the same lifestyles that so many of us were brought up in, so that he could relate to us better, so that he could understand our struggles better, so that he could understand our hang-ups better, so he could understand the things that we go through in life. He could relate to them and understand them better for one reason: because he loves us, because he wants a relationship with us. And Mike spoke about really the last 3 years of his ministry and the things that he did, the people that he brought into his life, the disciples that he brought into his life, and he molded them, and he coached them, and he trained them, and he loved them, and he empowered them. The same way the Bible says that he can empower us to go out and heal the sick, raise the dead, allow the blind to see again. These are powerful things, and these disciples, I think this is the thing that I learned most from going through this series so far, is that these disciples were there, and they witnessed these amazing things, and still, one betrayed him and 11 abandoned him. Being able to see those, could you imagine Jesus standing here right now performing miracles? How awesome that would be as believers. But knowing that people actually did that, it's documented, and they still abandoned, they still betrayed. And the most important thing to understand, this is what I just thought was just flooring. Jesus knew it was going to happen. He knew it. He knew it, and yet he still did it. He modeled perfectly how to go through an unfair situation, which I could argue was probably the most unfair situation that anybody's ever had to walk through in life. So what am I doing up here today? Why am I standing up here? I can tell you first and foremost that this was not my idea. I did not want to be standing up here giving a message today. If I'm being completely honest about it, I feel undeserving of it, and it's a very humbling experience. But in the same light, what happened with me back in high school, I was getting ready to graduate high school, and some things happened in my family that caused some brokenness. It caused some turmoil. It caused some things to go very, very wrong. And every sense of security, every sense of comfort, every sense of direction that I had ever known about my life was just immediately taken away from me. And I made some choices. And I started finding that things like alcohol could comfort the things that I was going through. And without spending the entire time talking about me today, because I have a tendency to do that sometimes, it led to a train of brokenness. It led to a serious trail of brokenness for the next 8 years of my life. And I can tell everybody this. I didn't choose to have this issue, although I made some decisions that led me down this road. But by going down this road, there's a lot of things that I could talk about, and I could stand up here and say it was unfair. It was not the intention that I had for my life. I didn't choose the things that happened that caused me to go down this road. But at the end of the day, I was the one that made the choices that got me to this point. And I spent most of my 20s in a deep pit of depravity, of brokenness, of lying, of manipulation, hurting people, ruining relationships, hurting loved ones. It was a dark time. It was a time that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemies. It stunk. Can anybody relate to what it's like to go through something like that? Can anybody relate to the darkness, to those feelings of hopelessness? It's just not a good place to be in. It's not a good place for any of us to be in. It's not a place that Jesus wanted us to be in. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to go through a story. We're going to talk about this next step. Mike talked about what happened when Judas came and betrayed him. And now we're going to talk about when the guards brought him in front of Caiaphas, the high priest. And we're going to see firsthand what true unfairness really looks like. But in my life, I got to a point to where I was at a bottom and there was nowhere to go. And I either had to learn how to do some things differently or I was going to die. Best case scenario, I was going to die. Worst case scenario, I was going to kill somebody else. So I turned my life over to Jesus. And some things started happening. They didn't happen all at once. It was a long process. It took a lot of work. It wasn't always easy. There were times where I wanted to quit and go back to doing it my own way. But something happened along the lines. I started to develop a relationship with God. And ultimately, he took something that was so broken and so depraved and so essentially useless, and he turned it into a person that can stand up here today and glorify God in front of a whole group of people. So that's what he did in my life, okay? And that's what, through this series, I hope that we can all take away, because the other point that Mike made last week is that God knew when he gave us free will and he gave us choice that this would be a world of brokenness, and he knew that we were going to make the wrong decisions, we were going to make the wrong choices, and that we were going to go down these roads. He knew that. So he sent his son. He sent his son to make the ultimate sacrifice so that we could be saved from what you're going to find out today could have been very harsh punishment. Jesus modeled for us in this section today how to overcome unfairness perfectly. So let's get into that today. So I want to start, let's start in the book of Matthew. We're at Matthew 26 through 57 through 66. Here it starts. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. So the rest of the disciples, you know, they were gone. Judas betrayed, the rest of the disciples were gone. Peter followed. We know that Peter's going to deny him, but Peter's going to follow him and find out what happens. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death, but they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. They were looking for false information, false evidence. How many times has false information been presented against us to justify condemnation? More importantly, how many times have we been the ones to seek this false information for the same purpose? Can anybody relate to that? So here was Jesus running his ministry, saving people, healing people, raising the dead, and a group of people come against him, betrayed by the very people that were supposed to love him the most. If that doesn't show a true resemblance of unfairness, I don't know what does. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days." Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is the testimony of the men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." "You have said so," Jesus replied, "but I say to all of you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Jesus already knew. He already knew what was going to happen. Can you imagine? Can you put yourself in Jesus' shoes right now? You know, as Christians, knowing the story of the Easter season, knowing the story of the crucifixion, for many of us having watched how many people have watched The Passion of the Christ? I'm sure we can all remember the severity of that crucifixion. Could you imagine putting yourself in Jesus' shoes, knowing that he was betrayed by a person that loved him the most and abandoned by people that he took in as his own? Knowing of the pain and the suffering and the punishment that he was about to go through, would you still be willing to do it for the love of man, to save the people that he loved, to save his children? It was very, very clearly made that his disciples didn't have the guts to do it, and they got to watch him up close. Think about the power of that. Think about what Jesus did for us. It's tough to put it into words. I already lost my place. Let me find it. I got it. 65. Then the high priest tore his clothes off and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" "He is worthy of death," they answered. So here are the people. A lot of the same people that were praising him on Palm Sunday, right, Mike? A lot of the same people that were praising him, saying, "The man's here, praise God," are now saying, "Crucify him." Can anybody relate to what it's like to have somebody say something positive to your face and they then say something negative behind your back? Has anybody ever dealt with two-faced people before? There's a lot of us. I'm one of them. I'm going to tell you a story about that in a minute. I could tell you stories all day about my hypocrisy if you really wanted to know the truth. But so what happened here? What this exchange, what was this all about? The truly righteous one, Jesus, was tried before a skewed jury with Caiaphas at the helm, presenting false information to get the outcome he wanted. The judge was condemned by the criminal, the spiritual condemned by the unspiritual. And through his condemnation, we were justified, giving an undeserving opportunity for a relationship with Jesus that we in no way earned or deserved. Danielle and I were lucky enough to go on vacation to Florida last week. We were in South Florida enjoying 86-degree weather, 86 during the day, 70 at night, sunny every day. I played 5 rounds of golf. I ate whatever I wanted. Gluttonous. But I remember I was sitting out by the pool one day, and some of my closest friends tell me that I need to lay off when I'm on vacation and not do any work at all, but I always try to like take an hour and a half every day and just try to stay caught up on what was going on. And we're sitting out by the pool, and I'm kind of working on a couple things, and I was kind of reviewing some things for this message today, and I started hearing some commotion from the house right next to us. And I remember I was kind of in one of my little funks where I wasn't being the most spiritual, and this kid was outside, and he was making all kinds of noise, and the dog was barking, and this house was really weird. You know, it's like there's all these beautiful houses around the lake in Punta Gorda, and it's absolutely gorgeous, and these homes have all in-ground pools and these beautiful pit check. Am I doing okay? Okay. They have these beautiful pools out there, and then there's this house that's all boarded up. Anyways, we come to find out that the husband and wife that live in this house gave birth to a son. And I'm not quite sure exactly what the health issue was, but he has a very severe health issue. Is mentally challenged, can only be out in the sunlight for a few minutes a day. It's a very tough situation. And the parents have had to drastically alter their lives to accommodate their mentally handicapped son. And, you know, I was working on this message a little bit while I was learning about this situation that was going on next door, and I was thinking about my unfairness in life, and I was thinking about other people's unfairness in life, and I was thinking about McAvoy's unfairness in life and some of the things that have happened to him. But imagine not having any choices in the unfairness that was given in the cards that we were dealt. Imagine the parents. Parents didn't make a choice or make bad decisions that caused their son to be mentally handicapped. It's just the way that it happened. And they had to make sacrifices, lifelong sacrifices, so that they could accommodate their son. They didn't abandon him. They didn't put him into the system. They decided to keep him. And I'm sure their lives are far from what they had envisioned them to be. And I can't tell you whether they're trying to tackle and execute their unfairness the way that Jesus wanted to, but I can certainly try and empathize with their pain, although I've never had to go through anything like that before. But let me tell you the other side. The guy that was sitting out by the pool on vacation, enjoying a little R&R, you know, with a little money in his bank account and things going relatively well in his life because of everything that Jesus did for him, is saying, why won't somebody shut that family up over there? I'm trying to focus on something. I had no idea what was going on. So here I am condemning an innocent child that didn't ask for anything to be the way that it is. Parents that didn't really make any choices that caused their son to be mentally handicapped. And here I am condemning that person. So it made me think, how often do we in our own lives, not really realizing that we do so, but just our human nature, how often are we actually the ones, not just the ones that have been treated unfairly, but how often do we, when we're not thinking about it and we're not living spiritually, how often are we the ones to unfairly condemn? Is that the way Jesus wanted it to be? No. So it made me think. It made me think about everything Christ did for us, and it made me think about how he went through this process of his life, and he executed it perfectly, knowing full along that we could never live up to that standard, letting him down the entire time, still willing to make these sacrifices that he's about to make for one reason, and we're going to get to that reason here pretty quick. As soon as I can find my place, I'm here. I found it. So, what do we want to know from this? Jesus should have been the one to condemn, not to be condemned. The second thing that we want to realize is that Caiaphas is us. Okay, so next set. I want to preempt this next set of scripture. I think this next set of scripture really drives home exactly what Jesus did for us, because this first set of scripture we're about to go through, we're going to hear some pretty harsh words. We're going to hear some words that would have been used to kind of describe what the old law would have been like before Jesus. We're going to understand a little bit deeper what would have been in store for us, what would have been in store for our sins if Jesus wouldn't have done what he didn't need to do. So let's walk through it really quick. Romans 3:10-24. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. Their poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to be shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it has to be those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. We're about to get into the good news, team. We're about to understand just what Jesus did for us. Remember what Pastor Mike said last week. Every bit of wrong in the world, every sin, condemnation was laid to rest with this ultimate sacrifice of Jesus. So we just understood. We understood what harsh looks like. Now let's unpack what salvation looks like. 22. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement. Missed one. Atonement. What does that mean? He took our place. Through the shedding of his blood, to be received by faith. And now what do we know that faith is? Faith equals what? Trust. Faith equals confidence. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the ones who justified those who have faith in Jesus. So now we know. We know what would have been waiting, and now we know what is waiting, because of the sacrifice Jesus made for us, the pain, the suffering, the unjustified condemnation, the unfair treatment, the agony. Flesh being ripped from his bones, hair and beard being pulled out, nails driven into his feet and hands. For people that wrote him off because they got a little scared and the party was over. Like Caiaphas, we condemn Jesus by our own choice to sin. So the question becomes, why did Jesus do this? Not because he needed to, but because we needed him to. Jesus' condemnation is our justification. Now, what does justification mean? Justification means made or declared right. Even though we were wrong, and we knew it. So what does this all lead to? What is the number one thought? What is the number one idea? What is the biggest takeaway that we need to get from this message? The biggest takeaway is that God loves us. That Jesus' condemnation is our justification. How often do we wrongfully condemn someone for our own benefit? How often do we judge someone when we are in no position to do so? How often are we the ones wrongfully judged for someone else's benefit? How often are we judged for the sins that we didn't even mean to commit? Life is unfair, team. It's a broken world. God knew it. God knew it when he created it. It's why he sent his son. Jesus didn't need to put himself in this position. It wasn't his responsibility to bear. We're the ones that needed him to make this ultimate sacrifice so that we could be undeservedly saved. The one who did it perfectly had to be condemned and sacrificed so that we could find freedom in our selfish ways and desires, so that we could be bought with his ransom for all people. So why is this so important? Because there is no being made right with God through personal effort. Jesus had to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. Because there is a new reality to be entered into. Instead of being enemies of God and objects of his wrath, we can now be children of God and objects of his affection. So how do we respond to it? How do we take all this information? Am I doing okay? Okay. How do we take all this information and apply it in our lives? What do we do? What does that look like? How does it feel? I mean, we're all Christians, so we obviously have all given our lives to Jesus, or we try to do it on a daily basis. But how do we really dig down? How do we really develop that open conduit and spiritual relationship with the Father? How do we really understand what his will and direction for our life is to be? How do we hear him clearly? How do we understand what his will is for our lives? Are we going to accept this wonderful gift and do our best to try and learn from it, glorifying Jesus and consciously seeking his will and direction for our lives in every situation? Or will we continue being selfish, doing it our own way, trying to get our own results? If we are going to learn from this and want to live life differently, we need to commit our lives to Jesus. If some of us have taken our will back, we might need to recommit our lives to Jesus. I know I've been there. But where do we go from there? Once we commit or recommit, where do we go? How do we do it? What does it look like? How do we create conscious contact? We need to ask him. We need to seek him. We need to pray. We need to surround ourselves with people that are going in the same direction that we are and let God use them to guide us. We need to make changes, sacrifices, and discipline ourselves to let go of our selfish ways and desires. If it was easy, everyone would do it. But in doing it, we find a life beyond our wildest dreams and desires, something we could have never conjured or orchestrated on our own. Accept, fill your mind with, and live according to this new identity and position with God. Justified. So, why am I standing up here today? Because God loves me, and because God justified me. But we have to be willing to do more. We have to be willing to go deeper. We have to be willing to seek Him. We have to be willing to find obedience. We have to be willing to practice discipline. We have to be willing to go beyond nominal Christianity. And I guarantee amazing things will happen. I guarantee it. So if we're going to get started in this process, we're going to either need to commit or we're going to need to recommit. And I want to just close out before I bring Pastor Mike back up with just a little closing prayer. So if everybody could close their eyes. Father God, repeat after me. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for what you did for me that you absolutely did not have to do. Thank you for the pain you endured. Thank you for not turning your back on our abandonment. Today I admit I have not always faithfully followed you. And today I commit to turn my life over, to do it your way, to get your result. And I pray that you will show me your will and direction for my life. And I will do my best to never stray and to never fall away. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.